Well, you are listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. One daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. And we have a great episode for you today. It's a special edition. So it's a video podcast. So if you're listening, we want to encourage you, head over to our Facebook page, Charisma News Facebook page, Charisma Mag Facebook page, or charismanews.com, and you can watch the full video. Likewise, if you found us online, make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. Our guest today is an actress, singer, host, and writer who achieved early fame as Ashley Abbott, the lead character in the CBS's The Young and the Restless. You may have heard of that. It's been around for a while. And is a Sony TriStar recording artist. She's also the author of a new book called Rise Up. It's Brenda Epperson Moore, and she's with us right after this.
All around the world, poverty is stealing choices from kids. It's time to give those choices back. Introducing Chosen, World Vision's new invitation to sponsorship. For the first time, kids have the power to choose their own sponsors. Now the choice is theirs. The choice to take hold of their future, and even the choice to step into a life-changing relationship with you. Learn more at worldvision.org/chosen.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, and our guest today is Brenda Epperson Moore. She's the author of a new book called Rise Up. It's about uncovering darkness in our lives and bondages, setting people free to walk in the joy that Christ has purchased for them. Brenda, such an honor to have you here. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, Jeff, thank you so much. We've gotten to know each other through these technical issues.
Yeah, so and I love it. This is one of those interviews where we're probably going to have equal time on and off the camera here as we are overcoming all obstacles.
That is correct. We are walking by faith and not sight right now.
Come on. And you know, really, this is what your message is. For Rise Up. You have an incredible story. So for those that are listening or they're watching that may not be familiar with you, can you just tell us, your life really does read like a book. So could you give us that snapshot of your history?
Well, you know, about 5 years ago, God called me to write a book and tapped me on the shoulder. And I was like, no, I can't do this. And I just, through the pandemic, you know, birthed this book. And it is just been incredible. The response has been incredible. I had a really great life, you know, as a young girl. My father was an RCA Victor country western singer and actor with John Wayne in films like Big Jake and just a normal, great life, right? And then all of a sudden, one day he walked out the door to do a film and he never came back. And my world just began to shatter. And then I was raped by a neighborhood boy. And then we lost all of our money. And my mother moved us from California to a little town in Nevada and then into Oregon. And my whole life just changed as I knew it. And I talk about in my book how every time I found Christ in my life as a young girl in a church, in a chapel, in the middle of nowhere. And that's when I found the love of Jesus Christ. And through cancer, through divorce, through being, you know, on television and being famous and through loss and deaths, God has been there and renewed my joy through the power of his spirit in my life and broken bondages and chains. And that is what Rise Up is about, how the little steps that I took in my life have helped me come from victim into victory. And yeah, Now I'm a victor, and you can too. That's what I want to encourage people in their life.
No, it's beautiful. And it really is the message of the gospel.
Yeah.
That Christ comes into our world, our experience, our brokenness, our pain, and he pulls us out. But of course there is that process, and this is what we're talking about. So you started off with your life in this idyllic kind of situation, and your father's, you know, an actor, and then trauma happened. So when did you actually meet Christ? When would you say that your relationship with Christ actually began?
You know, I've been a Christian pretty much all my life, I have to tell you, Jeff. I'm so grateful for that. And I'm certainly not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But when I was a little girl, we went to a Lutheran church. I grew up in church. And I remember this guy in photos, Jesus, and he looked nice, and he liked sheep, and I love sheep, and he seemed to like kids, too. I'm like, oh, and he likes kids, and I'm a kid. Yeah, okay, cool. You know, he likes sheep and kids, all right. But I didn't really know him. After my father died, after I was raped, and after all, you know, some of those tragedies happened that really began to put me in fear and bondage and self-hate in my life, we moved to Nevada, and standing at a candlelight service in a little church in the middle of Winnemucca, Nevada, at Assembly of God in the middle of nowhere at a candlelit service, I felt the love of Christ. I felt the love of a father after having lost my earthly father, and a love and acceptance that I had never experienced in my life. And that is the night at 9 years old that I gave my life to Christ. And from that day forward, it's been a process. Sometimes God delivers us in a moment and he heals us radically right then, and we are healed in a moment. Sometimes it's a process as we get into agreement with his word, and he radically saved me immediately. And then the healing became some of it instantly, and some of it was a process. And that's what I talk about in my book, Rise Up.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes it is instantaneous. But even when we have those miracle moments, you know, you might have a family member or someone might be listening where they were delivered from an addiction or something like that. You still have to walk out what your life looks like afterwards. And that's true for all of us, no matter how dramatic our testimony may or may not be. So you have this encounter, meet with the Lord, where you have a, I think what you're describing is that personal revelation of the love of God. And that you knew that Jesus loved you. He died
for... Yeah, I accepted him to my heart.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
That born-again experience. But then your path led you into entertainment. What was that like as a young woman, you know, going into that world? Because obviously that's not without its pitfalls and probably different challenges in itself.
Yeah, you know, so I grew up in church, Assembly of God. It was, man, we, you know, if you were not rolling down the aisles and speaking in tongues, honey, you were not having church, okay? And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And at a church camp one day, we couldn't afford, we had no money. My mother picked beans in the field sometimes to put food on our table after my father died when we then moved to Oregon. And I would work at the church camps in the summer and be a counselor to the kids. And Alton Garrison was the speaker. And one night he was praying, and there was a little girl that I was in charge of, a counselor over, who had braces on. And I would sit with her, and she would cry and watch the kids play, and she couldn't play. And that night, in a little log cabin in the mountains of Oregon, she took off those braces and walked. And at that moment, nobody could ever tell me that there wasn't a God who saves, who heals, who delivers, and who loves us, and a God who does extraordinary things in our lives if we just believe. And sometimes even when we don't believe and we just cry out, he'll heal us right then. You know, we just need to plug into him. We plug into so many other things, but we need to plug into him. So that radically changed my life. And I was always, you know, I'd stand in front of the mirror and I'd sing, and I really had that bug in my heart to just try Hollywood. But I always said, I want to affect the world and not let the world infect me. So I really read my word. I really say, Jeff, I think it's important to read God's word, to speak God's word, to believe God's word, and then to watch God work. So we have to get into agreement with his word and over the over 3,000 promises in the Bible for us. So I begin to really study and read my Bible. I'm like, okay, I'm moving to LA, Lord. Let's do this. And back then, I think the mindset was different, that you couldn't be a Christian and be in Hollywood. Right. But I think it's really the opposite, that we need people to be salt and light in a dark world. And we need to send our people out to show that you don't have to be and do what the world says, because that the world's identity is false and fake and leads to death. Our identity in Christ leads to life and hope and joy and peace and perseverance and strength and knowing who we are in him. So I always kept my identity in Christ. Doesn't mean I did everything right all the time, but even when I got The Young and the Restless and I was chosen for Ashley, I led cast member to Christ on the set. I would pray for people, you know, so they knew I was a Christian and they knew that I was very bold about my faith, but in a wise way. But it was very difficult when I went to go when I signed with Sony and I went to, you know, my music career, because I wanted to do Christian music and say God. And they're like, oh, you can't say God in music. We don't say that word. Like, okay. So, you know, I wanted to sing inspirational music. So all my music was very inspirational. And I would say The Man Upstairs. I did a duet with Philip Ingram called If You Believe that I opened for Lionel Richie all over Europe. And we did this duet called If You Believe. Wow. And with Philip Ingram, James Ingram's brother.
This is before Kanye broke all the boxes, right?
That's right. And that's the thing.
You were trying to break the box early, but you know.
Jeff, yes. I was out there pounding and they're like, no, 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 no. And, you know, it was tough because I'm so glad that we've come back around and we've really understood. You know, Hollywood used to be filled with Christians. And it seems like it's, you know, the antithesis.
Well, was it when you got there? Was it hard for you to find other believers in Hollywood?
It was an underground society, okay. Quite frankly. It was not an accepted culture. And, you know, while, you know, I have friends that, you know, made movies like I Can Only Imagine and The Shack and produced these incredible films. They've been doing this a long time. But it wasn't that cultural accepting kind of a thing back then like it is now, you know. So being bold in your faith then was kind of an underground thing.
Well, it's interesting, you know, speaking to you because, you know, lately we've had several guests that are either working in government or helping run campaigns. And it seems like, you know, government and Hollywood is kind of two different areas where a lot of times Christians shy away from engaging. I'm guessing you would say that's not the right approach, that God can use people in entertainment.
Yeah, he really can. You know, we are to be in the world, but not of the world, right? We're to be that city on a hill, that light that people see and they're drawn to and they want to know, what is different about you? How can you be doing, like, for example, I'm on a show currently called The Rich and the Ruthless on BET+. And it's an incredible cast. And they know I'm a Christian. And we talk and we've prayed. I've prayed for the cast before. And it has just been an incredible time. But God wants us to, yes, be in the church and be in community, you know, in the ecclesia and the gathering. But he also then says, go out, you know, right? The Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And I think the idea that we have that it needs to be from a pulpit or it needs to be from a church pew, which is great, and we need that so desperately. But we also can be that Christ follower and that example of his life, hopefully, in the dark places. You know, I know people who go to, you know, strip clubs and give girls Bibles and you know, try to be a blessing to them. And we go in the dark streets in nations where there's dirty people that are dying. He wants us to be that light and to bring his love into all walks of life in every industry, especially the government, the school boards, everywhere.
Well, you're getting into preaching territory here.
Okay.
We'll take an offering here and pass it in because you're speaking our language here at Charisma. But so now it sounds like you've kind of done it all. You're still doing it all. But you said during the pandemic, God spoke to you about writing this book called Rise Up. And again, it's about helping people kind of break out and break through past hurts, traumas, basically all the schemes of the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So let's go a little bit deeper into the book now. What are the main points that you're trying to communicate to our listeners?
So Rise Up is really a love letter to God. It is a book for anyone who's ever been hurt, who's been abused, who's been betrayed, who's been an outcast, who's been alone, who's been in despair, who's faced loss or death or, you know, been in the pits of darkness like I was, you know, when I was told I had breast cancer and that doctor walked out, that spirit of fear began to creep up my leg, Jeff. I'm not kidding. And began to paralyze me. And as that spirit came up my leg, when the doctor said, I'll leave you and let you have a moment, I spoke the word of God out of my mouth like I've taught my kids. And I said a simple scripture, I will not fear, I will trust in God. I will not fear, I will trust in God. And as that spirit of fear was literally climbing up my leg to paralyze me as I spoke God's word, which we know is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. That spirit that I couldn't move my leg began to flee as quickly as I spoke God's word. So I love to ignite people. My book, Rise Up, is a love letter to God, but it's also to show that you can overcome bondages and darkness and despair through the power of his words with the simple little steps that I took, that I did, that impacted and changed my life, and now hopefully will be able to change yours. I have challenge questions at the end of each chapter of things that you can implement in your life and do. The small things matter in our life, right? David took a small stone and he slayed Goliath. Yeah. The Bible said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. So when I was sitting in my bathtub, for example, and I talk about in my book, filled with blood from my third miscarriages, thinking I would never be able to have this baby that I longed for, I began to praise God. I began to worship. I began to decree and declare his life and his blessings over my life. I began to write scriptures from Deuteronomy 28 over my hand, in my car, speak them and declare them. Healing scriptures, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. You know, Deuteronomy 28, you are the head and not the tail. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. I began to speak those things, those little things. I began to speak into my life and out in the atmosphere and began to pray and believe. And God began to shift not only my situation, but began to shift me and my heart and the way I looked at it, the way I dealt with. I began to surrender those things in my life that became an idol, that were holding me back and filling me with darkness and not allowing me to see with clarity and wisdom the plans that he has for me. Because if we can really grasp, Jeff, and understand, you know, according to Romans 8:28, that God works good in all things. That means all things. And if we understand the character of God, that his character is joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is our birthright, and joy is who God is. If we begin to understand those small things, I am Jesus on you, that we begin to radically transform. But we have to really get into agreement and do the work, do the small steps that I show you in my book, Rise Up, that has radically changed my life. When I faced cancer, when my father died, when I was raped, when I was divorced, when I've, you know, been in despair, when lost all of our money and had nothing.
Yeah.
I'm so passionate about igniting God's people to understand that God has great and mighty things in store for each one of us.
Yeah.
If we would just dare to believe.
Yeah. Now, Brenda, did you enter into a place in this journey? I mean, you name all these hardships, obstacles, challenges, yeah, setbacks, heartbreaks. Did you have a moment like a dark night of the soul moment where you felt like you were at your breaking point? And I mean, or were you just fighting the entire time? I don't think one way or the other is better than the other. It's just kind of the story of how God leads us. What was your story like? Was there a real low point, or did you just have a fighting spirit the whole time?
You know, Jeff, I've always been attracted to power. I love powerful cars. I love powerful airplanes and animals and people. And I really in my life realized the world is empty, and what is it is in it is empty, but God embodies so much but the fullness of life. And I thought, why not plug into the ultimate power? And that is Jesus Christ. We shouldn't plug into anything else but him first. Seek ye first him and his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto us. I've always had a fighting spirit, to answer your question, but I have seen and touched darkness. And at that moment, when I was at the pit of despair and Satan was chomping at my heels and I felt like I couldn't breathe because the life was being sucked out of me and the hope was being pulled from my soul, the several times that I can identify, would get on my knees and I would cry out to God. I would fall on my face. I would repent. I would ask him to come into that situation, and every single time he would deliver me from those bondages, because his love is real. He has a perfect love, and his love has conquered sin and death and allows us to overcome if we would just understand that we start from the place of victory and we move in as a victorious person into this life and into the promises that he has, because Satan wants to hold us in bondage. Satan wants to remind us of our past. Satan wants to remind us of all the things we've done wrong or that we haven't done. God wants to bring us and propel us forward into our future and into the plans that he has for us to prosper us and not harm us.
Come on. Come on. So good. So good.
And I'm like, I'm
so good. So God. And it's the gospel. And so thankful that you're sharing it. You released your book Rise Up 2 months ago on BET Plus. Is there anything else that you're working on right now that we should be aware of?
Well, I'm on BET Plus called The Rich and the Ruthless. My character, Edith Norman, is part of The Ruthless. But, you know, I saw this amazing interview with Tyler Perry and Joel Osteen, and Tyler talked about, now don't judge me for these characters I'm doing. You know, I love the Lord. You know, I'm just out there telling a story. And I just love his unabashed, you know, creativity. And this has been a really fun instrument for me, and place and a character for me, and BET Plus platform has been a new platform for me, so I've really enjoyed it. So the Rise Up is on Barnes & Noble, ChristianBooks.com, Amazon.com. Pick it up and let me know how God is going to transform your life through this book. I'm on The Rich and the Ruthless on BET. I'm working on some more music, and so I'm really excited about new songs and new sounds that hopefully will be coming out this year.
All right. Are you going to be able to say God in the songs, or are you still going to be?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to be able to say more than God in the songs. I'm thinking about doing some really interesting stuff that I'm going to keep a secret, but oh yeah, I'm going to say more than God in the songs.
This will be a throwback to the campground days that you were referencing. And Brenda,
yes.
such an honor and such a joy to have you on the podcast today. Before we go, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I love Charisma. I love everything you guys are about. I've followed you for years in magazines and all the platforms you guys have been on. You've been so instrumental in just encouraging me in my faith. So I'm really honored to be on the platform with you guys. So thank you. You can find me at BrendaEpperson.com. Also on Instagram at BrendaEpperson, the number 2. And, you know, on Facebook, Brenda Epperson, you know, Twitter, all of those things. But, you know, reach out to me on BrendaEpperson.com and tell me how the book has transformed your life and what you're working on and what God is doing in your life. I really want to connect with everybody and encourage you that nothing is impossible if you...
Come on. Amen. Well, that's a great way to end it. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, and really pray God's blessings on everything that you're doing.
It's a thrill and a joy. Thank you so much. It's so great.
Likewise. God bless.
You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. We want to encourage you to make sure to share the episode with friends and family. It's a great way to share encouraging news as well as spread the kingdom of God. And it's how the podcast grows as more listeners find value and find encouragement in the content that we are providing. I pray today's episode blessed you.